Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 10, the choosing of the 12. Important. Stay tuned for our program. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Well, one has to wonder as you look at these men and who they were and who they weren't, why he picked these particular 12 men. It's very interesting to note that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let me read that again. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He chose these 12 men, and whatever God did through these men, he did in spite of them. And we are servants of the Lord, and we are referred to as earthen vessels. You know what an earthen vessel is? It's simply compressed dirt. That's all it is. And so he took 12 men, compressed dirt, that's what they're made out of, and he made them into something that he could use. But let us not ever get to the point where we think we're something special, because Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And we're just compressed dirt, and we have this privilege of being used of the Lord to do anything. It's interesting that when Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was interested in seeking the Lord, God sent an angel. Well, you say, "Yeah, that's right. He'll get that done if he sends an angel." No, he sent an angel to Peter and said to Peter, "You go, you compressed dirt, you go and tell Cornelius about this." This is the way that God has chosen to do it. And so we see here that he gave them power, and they did whatever they did in spite of who they were. God worked through them. Well, we read in verse 2, "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother James, and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." And he's always referred to in that way. Now, he gave them some instructions here in verse 5. He said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Now, this is important. He said, "Follow my instructions. Go not there. Go over here." Now, it's so important, and we've mentioned this many times, but it's got to be mentioned again because it's so important. There's two messages that are going on at this particular time through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts. There's two messages that are being preached. One is simply and completely and only to the Jews. And to that message, it had to do with the kingdom and them accepting their king. And with that message, he said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Now, in the same timeline in John chapter 4, Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." And he went down there. He just said, don't go to the Samaritans. Don't go to the Gentiles. Well, that was with the message for the Jews, for the kingdom. Now, with the message of eternal life, that's for everybody, Jews and Gentiles. It's for everybody. Now, let's go to those Samaritans and let's talk to them. Well, a bunch of them got saved, we know. And then in Acts chapter 9, when Paul got saved, the Bible said, "Then the churches at Samaria had rest." Well, if they must have been churches there if they had rest, right? We get so much nonsense going on about when did the church start, and that's another subject. I'm not going to get into that on this broadcast. The point I want to make here now is this. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any of the Samaritan cities, enter ye not. He's giving them instructions, and what we need to do is to follow God's instructions. We get some preconceived ideas sometimes of what we should do and where we should do it and how we should do it. Better spend some time in prayer. Better spend some time getting directions from God and making sure that he wants us to do these things. Well, and then in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Don't be concerned about money. Just get going. They didn't spend 4 years running around raising support. And I understand those who are doing that. I'm not criticizing that. I'm saying they didn't do it. They just went and they weren't concerned about the money. They just went and did what God told them to do. And God took care of them. Well, we look at these different disciples, and the first one on the list is Peter. Well, his name means stone, actually little stone. He's always mentioned first. He's part of the inner circle. He was a native of Bethesda. John chapter 1, verse 44 tells us that. His brother's name was Andrew. He lived in the fishing town of Capernaum. He was married, and he was a fisherman. Then there was James, the son of Zebedee, the older brother of John, a fisherman with his brother. He was the first of the 12 to be martyred. Then there's John, originally a disciple of John the Baptist. He was the brother of James and the son of Zebedee. He lived in Capernaum in Galilee. He was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee along with his brother and his father. He was one of the three disciples that was closest to Jesus, the others being Peter, James, and then, of course, John. Then there's Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. He lived in Capernaum. He was a fisherman by occupation. He brought Peter, his brother, to Jesus. Then there's Bartholomew. He's listed in all the four lists of the apostles. There is no other references to him than that. There's very little known about Bartholomew. And then there's Matthew, very interesting man, also called Levi. He was a tax collector. He was the author of the first book in the New Testament. Thomas, he's also called Didymus, which means a twin. When Jesus appeared to the apostles after the resurrection, Thomas was not present with them, and he found it very difficult to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. Well, Thaddeus, he's mentioned in two of the four lists of Jesus' disciples. He's referred to sometimes as Levius. Nothing else is known about him, very little known about him. And then there's Simon the Zealot. He's a member of a party later called the Zealots. There's very little recorded about him as well. James the Less, the son of Alphaeus, doesn't mean he was less important than anybody else. He was the younger is what it means. There's two James in this group, and he's the younger one. Little is recorded about him, but he's one of the 12 men who the Lord used to change the world. Then there's Philip. He came from Bethesda. Philip became the sixth disciple of Jesus and introduced his friend Nathanael, sometimes called Bartholomew, to Jesus, who also became an apostle. And then, of course, there was Judas Iscariot. He was the disciple who betrayed Jesus. He committed suicide, and he's always mentioned last when the disciples are listed. Well, today we're going to talk about Matthew. It says in Mark chapter 2:14, and as he, that is Jesus, passed by, he saw Levi, which of course he's Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of the custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, and they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Get that word, repentance. Well, Matthew, what a character. It says here in verse 14, as he passed by, he, that is Jesus, saw Levi. And that word saw has been translated perceived five times. He knows exactly what's in Levi's heart. He is the son of Alphaeus. He is sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, we have a problem here. I mean, this fella Matthew, he's a tax collector. He's a publican. There's nobody in Jerusalem, in fact, there's nobody in all of Israel, who's more hated than this man called Matthew. Why would Jesus pick him? Why is he hated? Well, when the Romans came in and took over, they would put this job out as an auction. You could buy this job, and it was a very lucrative job, and what you did was you went and you collected taxes from your own people, the Jews. And so Matthew, being a Jew, took this job and became very wealthy. Now the Jews, the Romans would say, now here's what the taxes are for this and that and the other thing, and they had more taxes than we have. That's hard to believe, but they did. And what they would tax this, they would tax the other thing, and everything was being taxed. And what Matthew could do is he said, now the Romans said, this is how much you charge for this tax, and you can add on whatever you want and keep the change. Well, they were just despicable people in the eyes of those people who in Israel, and they hated him because he was a traitor, making himself very, very wealthy at their expense. Well, Jesus comes by and he sees him sitting there collecting his money from God's people, the Jews, and he said, follow me. And he arose and he followed him. He followed him. Now, Jesus gets in trouble for going to first thing that Matthew did was he threw a banquet, and he got all his friends, and he introduced all his friends to Jesus at this banquet. Well, in verse 16, we saw the scribes and the Pharisees, they saw him eat with publicans and sinners, and they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? You know, the Lord can't. He couldn't win no matter what he did. Their problem was he's too willing to mix with the people. What's he doing mixing with those sinners? Today the problem is, hey, give it a rest. Back off. Don't get so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. You need to mix with us. And today it's exactly the opposite. It doesn't matter what the Lord did. They just hated him anyway. They hate him today too. Well, it says in verse number 14, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said, follow me. And he rose and followed him. So he's passing by. It is decision time for Levi. Now again, the Lord knows his heart. He knows what's been going on in his heart. He's not happy with all this money, and nobody is. You think you're going to be happy if you get yourself a big bank account? Doesn't work that way. And Levi was beginning to understand this. He was a miserable man with all his money. And he's passing by, the Lord is passing by. He perceived Levi, he knew his heart. He's sitting there at the receipt of customs, and he has to now make a choice. Jesus said, follow me. He has to make a choice. And he arose and he followed him. He followed him. And what a tremendous change in his life. He was giving up everything. I mean, he was giving up everything. There's no turning back for him. Now, the disciples, if they wanted to turn back, they could go fishing again. But for Matthew to give up this job, he's not going back to it. Somebody else is going to swoop in and grab that lucrative position. There's no going back with him. But God knew his heart. The Lord knew the heart of Matthew. Very, very important to understand that. And so in Luke 5 and 28, we read he left all. He rose up and followed him, and he left it all. There was no turning back. Well, in verse 15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Now, they sat in his house, and Matthew had a big house. He had a lot of money. He was a very wealthy fellow. And he sat at meat in his house. He's had all these publicans and sinners come for a banquet. He's going to introduce Jesus to his wicked friends that he had, and the disciples of Jesus were there, and there was a lot of people there, it says here. There was many, and at this time, Jesus had six or maybe seven of the disciples, and they were there as well. Well, we saw in verse 16, they said to the disciples, the Pharisees, the scribes, they said, what's he doing with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, that's a pretty unpopular subject these days. They're saying, even in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist circles, they're saying you don't need to repent. All you got to do is believe. Just pray a prayer. Well, you know, if that doesn't work for the Catholics, it's not going to work if you call yourself an independent Baptist. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What part of that is too difficult to understand? All these scribes, all these Pharisees, all these religious hypocrites, they needed to repent. These scribes, these Pharisees, Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, you and I, everybody in this world, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's pretty simple to understand, except ye repent. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow for another broadcast. We'll try to make it plain. We will try to make it simple.